Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Nshombe. It's the time of the early morning of, the Monday or the 13th of April, 2026. And this is a platform and a program that we look at the affairs of business, trade, politics, international affairs, and indeed everything that affects our bread and butter, and what can we do moving forward. This is a platform that we encourage critical, constructive criticism, especially when it comes to developmental priorities. We look at issues that are pertinent to our development, and the most importantly, we encourage you to make sure that you are not only a listener, but you are a participant to national discourse, and you look at your contribution to national development. You know, every morning we are giving you a motivation to say the fact that you are awake, you have a national, project that you need to work on. The fact that you are awake, make sure that you're one of the lucky people that are awake this morning, because other people are still, begging for one more second to breathe. You know that you will not get that in 100 years. That's why it's quite crucial and necessary to make sure that you appreciate every second of strength that you have. And we see that the weekend was interesting, not only in terms of sport, but it's also other development, especially looking at politics, economics, and also trade. And we'll be able also to give you insight of what is in the Villager newspaper for today, because every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we'll give you that content. However, before we move forward and also look at what we are going to discuss today, especially when you are going to look at the copy and paste developmental approach, what is the danger of paragraphized development programs, and also what can we do better, especially to make sure that when it comes to the affairs of, state development, affair of the way we deal with private sector, we are not only having systems and names and faces, but you also have the aspect of improvement of people's lives. Because it's one thing to say we also have this in Namibia, but it's a different thing to say this of what we have is also working like the way it's working in your country. And let us start with what is happening at the global platform in terms of business and trade. It was stated that the World Bank has urged Nigeria to restore competition in its petroleum market, citing that, Aliko Dangote is growing powerful and is becoming dominant in the industry. And the World Bank is also advising the recommendation to focus on opening the sector for more players to improve market efficiency and also allow market competition. Because what Nigeria have done is that after this fight between U.S., Iran, and Israel, they have to make sure that they rely on their men, they rely on their son of the soil to supply them with oil. But it has also brought a lot of, speculations, a lot of perspective to say the oil become more expensive within the country, because Dangote is becoming a dominant force, particularly in Nigeria. However, the World Bank is advising to say no. You are becoming too powerful. You are becoming a dominant power. So allow other players also to come in, so that they will be able also to have, market competition. And if you look at the African report, the African economic report, you will also be able to see that African people, they are also showing their angerness, particularly when the World Bank has given that statement to say it's discriminatory. And they are also indicating that even in African countries, there have been international companies that have been monopoly. But if Dangote have just done it, not even for a month, they've already issued a statement. They wanted Dangote, or they wanted the government of Nigeria, to reopen and also allow competition to come in. And it's really a bad news when country is prioritizing its own people, and the international world is looking also of opening that aspect, because free market economy, particularly allowing international cooperation to compete, it sounds good on paper, but it has not done well to many African countries, particularly those who have been with infant businesses. And if you see the indication to say how many African businesses are competing internationally and who own those businesses, then you also be able to understand that even African businesses who try to stand on their own, they are faced with a lot of challenges. And if you look at Dangote and his businesses, you realize to say throughout the years, if you read the political economy of Nigeria, then you understand that not only in the country, it has been through a lot of regulation battles here and there. And it's not the first time, particularly when international institutions are indicating to say, no, you are becoming too powerful. And if you read between the lines, you also be able to ask yourself a question, is it really that the price, or they are scared that Dangote will become more richer, powerful, and Africa will start relying on yourself? And also, when you're asking yourself, who is World Bank, and why it allows, or why it's urging the opening up of the market, particularly in this context? Because if the government of Nigeria is closing its borders, or is not allowing international businesses to operate, while it's focusing on its own person, it could be that they have done the calculations, but the World Bank is saying it's not fair. It's not fair. And you must allow this thing to happen, and you must allow others also to come in. And other analysts in Nigeria and Africa are saying this recommendation is a controversial recommendation, and it's also viewed by other countries as undermining national asset, and that is providing stability. And the World Bank has always been focusing on structural reforms, strengthening, the aspect of doing businesses. But in this aspect, it's quite different, particularly looking at Nigeria. Yeah, looking on the other side, it is stated that the negotiation which happened between USA and Iran, which happened in the weekend, did not reach its final conclusion, although there have been some agreements which were found. The main content of the agreement, particularly on the nuclear part and also on the control of the Strait of Hormuz, it is stated that the Vice President of America and his delegation, they have left Pakistan without reaching the intended agreement, particularly after 21 hours of negotiations. We have seen what was happening throughout the weekend, and people say, no, was this things that people only see in movies, where you see diplomats coming escorted by fighter jets and grand welcoming. And really, the world must thank the Prime Minister of Pakistan, particularly hosting this very important negotiations. And you also be able to realize that delegation of Iran and the delegation of USA, everybody has their own interests and what they want to achieve throughout that negotiation. And also understand that Israel was nowhere to be found, particularly on that table. And you may be able also to read between the lines to say this is not really a direct conflict between Israel and Iran, and know who the big players are. And it seems like Israel is not was not part of that negotiation, even if it was the one who was paying the price. The country that paid the price of that war is only Iran and Israel. But when it comes to the table, you see the real guy, you see the real man who is calling the shots, because it seems like you look at Benjamin Netanyahu. He was just looking through the window not physically, but also in terms of, you know, when you look at what was happening, because it was not on the table. It was not on the table. Nobody from Israel was part of that negotiations. But it seems like, you know, Iran and also USA did not reach their, you know, agreement. But if you look on the side of Iran, they are indicating that after 40 days of war, you do not expect people to reach an agreement. Few hours of negotiations, which means that there's a possibility of the second round of negotiations. There's a possibility of a second round of negotiations. And if you read, you know, the content of President Donald Trump's tweet, it seems like, you know, there's no immediate action regarding continuation of war. It seems like he's also interested in negotiations, but he's also indicating that he's disappointed. However, he's also praising those who took part in negotiation to see important things have been agreed upon, but the main intention of but they do not matter, especially when the main intention was not agreed upon. Then the world is also asking itself, is that is it the resting period? Why is this a resting period before the war resume, or is this the breakthrough to another forms of negotiations? And it's interesting to see. And you can also be able to look into this context to say, when you look at what Iran has also indicated, is that they still want to have control over the Strait of Hormuz. And Donald Trump, if you look at his tweet, he's indicating that he's not happy. He's a bit disappointed, especially with, you know, the outcome of the negotiations, regardless of all the efforts. And one may really ask himself to say, what will happen after, you know, 2 weeks of ceasefire? Is there going to be another round of negotiations, or the war will resume? And, you know, it's quite a very difficult circumstances to be at, particularly if you are Iran, if you are Israel, if you are USA, and also the entire world, because this has made it difficult, particularly in terms of trade. Let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with this conversation, particularly when we are also going to look at, you know, what United States is trying to do, especially looking at the aspect of Iran and also the trade. But it's also interesting to look at the relationship between Iran and also China, particularly when this intelligence report, which is indicating that these guys are arming Iran, and what will happen. It's quite a lot of things around the world, and one may really ask to say, when is this going to come to an end, particularly where you have deterioration of international laws and deterioration of international institutions. And on the other side, Canada is also standing on its own to say, no, the time to give money to USA has come to an end. And you really see the contradiction in global politics. Maybe that has been around for a very long time. We have been not seeing it. You really see, if you hear and see the position of EU when it's coming to these negotiations, and when you see their position at the beginning of the war, you see completely different things. Because, you know, you also be able to see that EU may have problems with Iran, but they are also in strong disagreement with Trump. And you also start to see that a lot of contradiction around the world, but we had to see how things are going to turn out. And you also see the continuation of growing of distance between EU and the United States of America, but one want to see how the outcome is going to be. And the main question that we should ask ourselves is that not only to look and become spectators, I'm not saying we should be participants, but what are we learning from this unpredictable situation or this world of unpredictability, particularly if you are a small country, if you are still a developing state, if you still want to get on track while the world has moved so fast. But let's look at a short commercial break, then we can be able to move forward.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapungwa Eva Tere Ulikoni Mondo Toto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweko Tete Okoye Ekukulile Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili Mehola Mo Iho Etike Kovano Hile Koshuan Konongeshe Faa Yapumbo Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Toda Njuka Okupitira Oipindi Konu Konda Doili Nawa Nuneo Don Otukwetira O Special Angeta Shake Ngeshe Faa Omarudi Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijagwiri nawa, ninge pata fanona, monika ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurani ngeno wapungwa Eva Tere Ulikoni Mondo Toto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweko Tete Okoye Ekukulile Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili Mehola Mo Iho Etike Kovano Hile Koshuan Konongeshe Faa Yapumbo Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Toda Njuka Okukwetira Oipindi Konu Konda Doili Nawa Nune Udo Otukwetira O Special Angeta Shake Ngeshe Faa Omarudi Dayo Loka Opone Ushendi Fenawa Nokumona Oijagweli Nawa Ninge Pata Fanona Monika Ko Eagle FM Onora Etatu Imwe Bali Heali Nola Natu Heali Bali No Heali Ile Kumberewa Nora Hetatu Natu Bali O Hetatu Batatu Oma Felane Eagle FM The Eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that is what is happening. For those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's 32 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until the hour of 8. Looking at global affairs and the tension between USA and Iran, it's becoming so complicated because the president of USA, again, Donald Trump, has indicated that the US Navy also started to blockade ships in the Strait of Hormuz that are coming and also leaving, the Strait of Hormuz. It is indicated that, President Donald Trump has indicated that effective and immediately, the United States Navy, the finance in the world, will begin the process of blocking any and all ships trying to enter or leave the Strait of Hormuz. And that was part of his post at Truth Social. At some point, we will reach all being allowed to go in, all being allowed to go out basis. But Iran has not allowed that to happen by merely saying there may be mines out there somewhere that nobody knows about them. This is world extortion. There's a lot of, you know, things happening, but what is coming out very clearly is that the center of war is coming out to say, at the end of the day, it's about oil. At the end of the day, it's about the Strait of Hormuz, because that has been all the intention that people are seeing. Because if you look at the objectives of war, analysts are saying it has changed completely. It's not about the regime change anymore. It's not about, although it's not, it's also speaking about nuclear weapon. Even if they say, no, we obliterated or we destroyed all the nuclear weapons or all the, you know, nuclear weapon programs, you start to see that at the end of the day, it's oil and gas. That's why US is also indicated that everything or all the ships that have paid tolls or that are coming and going, they are also going to put a blockade there. And understand that as we are speaking, Iranians are saying the Strait of Hormuz is not closed, but it's only closed for the US and its allies. And there was also an indication that there were some ships from US that has passed through. But you understand that up to now, Iran did not give up that that control. And you are really asking yourself a question, is that what kind of weapons do they have, particularly in controlling the Strait of Hormuz, even if they lost over 100 of their Navy ships, which were bombed, and it's a great loss to Iran to say what is so, what elements are they using to control that? Is it really because they put bombs underground and it's only them that can disarm them? Or is it really because they can, you know, reach the Strait of Hormuz within a second with drones and ballistics to target those ships that are closing? Or what really strategy are they using that they are giving high blood pressure to the world's superpower, particularly on that aspect? In the same ground, Donald Trump has also indicated that no, he's not happy with what the Pope have said, the Pope of Catholic, what the Pope have said, especially regarding, you know, regarding the war. It's indicated that Donald Trump, the President of US, indicated that I'm not a fan of, you know, the Pope, because of him denouncing the war in Iran. And he's saying he's terrible for foreign policy. And that is exactly what is happening. And you must be able to understand that much is yet to come. Much is yet to come. Because there are also a lot of indication that US is also not happy with China involvement with Iran, because there are indication that there's intelligence report which is indicating that China is arming Iran, and USA is not happy with that. And you start to see how these things are coming about, how these things are turning, you know, about. Because one thing that you need to understand is that the main winner in this war is not only Iran, but also Chinese economy. Because remember that China is the second largest economy in the world, second to USA. And currently, as we are speaking, they are boosting their economy, or they become so, you know, lucky that all the trade that is done through the Strait of Hormuz, all the shipment that are passing through, they are paying in Chinese currency. Even if they are paying to Iran, they are paying in Chinese currency. And you really do not get it, particularly how do these guys, which financial system are they using? And also, how is the money going to come to Iran? So complicated. That's why you need to understand that even that negotiation that Iran has to go with, you know, the head of Central Bank, and understand that this war is not only about the military, but it's also in economic war. And we are here to see how things are going to turn out, because China is also benefiting from this war. And so we have to see that what is the better way of reaching an agreement, particularly between Iran, USA, Israel, and also all the fighting parties. So let's look at the short commercial break, then we'll also be able to continue, particularly coming back at home, coming back to Nigeria, and also to look at, Nigeria, to say, apart from Nigeria being one of powerful economies in Africa, or being the savior of Africa, particularly through Aliko Dangote, understand that Nigeria internal conflict has never gone down and has continued to intensify. Number of people dying, they are continuing to go up, particularly in the hands of the jihadist and jihadist versus Nigeria armed forces. But we'll look into this, especially from the short commercial break. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 and can be able to engage us not only in economics but also aspect that look at the development. You can update us in terms of the sport economy, particularly how the sport has gone through. Either is the dominance force of Chura Chura, either is the result between Namibia, under 17 women, and also Kenya. Either is Arsenal. That is a nickname of like a small elephant that had the ambitions of getting 5 cups, but it seems like this dream is starting to fade away. You're really asking yourself to say, when somebody is so closer to succeed in life, particularly, I think when you look at Arsenal has been one of the team that has been so very closer to power and success, but end up losing everything. It's not the first time. If you look at the history, how it has been so good at playing professional football and producing champion, but when it comes to winning critical cups such as European Champions League or winning the league, there's been almost 20 years after it won its first its last European league. But we had to see how the elephant is going to walk out of this difficult predicament. But it's also teaching you something in life, to say when you are closer to winning in life, it doesn't mean that you have won. That's why you don't need to give up, to say, or you don't need to reach that point to say, I'm almost there. Because we've also seen it in life where people are very closer to winning, then they fall down. Somebody has just one module before he graduated, then told the whole village to say, I'm making it, and just one more module to go. Then you really find out that this person, instead of staying in that university for 3 years, end up staying for 6, 7, or even end up not completing that qualification, because the requirement is that finish the paper and get it. And it has been seen a lot to say celebrating too early can be very dangerous, and also it's quite important to bring that goal to the final conclusion. And it does not only happen in sport, it's happened in academia, it's happened in economics. Somebody have done a pitching and say, no, I'm very, very closer and I'm on a final stage, but you just find out that the result is zero. And we must learn from Arsenal to say celebrating to Eric can be problematic, but also making sure that you reach the final conclusion. But there's also a proverbs of saying, if you are chasing five rabbits, the possibility of you catching none is high, because you divide your attention. Say, you want to win all, you want to take all, then you end up taking nothing. So same with saying you can work for two masters, you end up loving one and hating another. But also there is also another indication to say you can also hit two birds with one stone, even five birds. But, you know, it's life. Let's see how things are going to turn out, particularly in those possibilities which are left. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. And remember that today we have the Villager newspaper, we have the paper, and we'll be able to give you that content. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapubwa Eva Tere Ulikoni Mando Tuto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweko Tete Opoewe Eku Kulile Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili Mehola Mo Iho Etike Kovano Hile Koshuala Kono Ngeshe Faa Yapumbo Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Tota Njuka Okupitira Oipindi Konu Konda Doi Inawa Mune Uto Otukwetira O Special Angeta Shake Ngeshe Faa Omarudi Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamweli nawa, ninge pata fanona, monika ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko berewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere Ulikoni Mando Tuto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweko Tete Opoewe Eku Kulile Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili Mehola Mo Iho Etike Kovano Hile Koshuala Kono Ngeshe Faa Yapumbwa Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Toda Njuka Okupitira Oipindi Konu Konda Doi Inawa Nune Uto Otukwetira O Special Angeta Shake Ngeshe Faa Omarudi Dayo Loka Opone Ushendi Fenawa Nokumona Oijamweli Nawa Ninge Pata Fanona Monika Ko Eagle FM Onora Itatimwe Bali Heali Nola Natu Heali Bali No Heali Ileko Mberewa Mura Hetatu Natu Bali O Hetatu Watatu Oma Filane Eagle FM The Eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Is 48 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are looking at what is happening in the continent of Africa. It is indicated that at least 200 people killed in an airstrike in northern Nigeria or in northeast Nigeria. And it is stated that dozens of people died in airstrike in Nigeria. In Yombe State, as military aircraft hunted Boko Haram jihadist. That has been reported by Amnesty International. It's indicating that in the attempt to take down jihadist, indicated that around 200 people died in that conflict in Nigeria. And just on Sunday, just in a day, and there are conflicting reports, some indication also indicating that 100 people, and local chiefs are saying it's 200 dead and wounded. And understand that Nigeria has been fighting jihadists for 17 years, since Boko Haram uprising in 2009, which has been, the emergency of powerful splinter groups, including the Islamic State, that, in Nigeria, understand that, these groups are not coming to, they are not being neutralized. It has been 17 years now, and it's becoming a threat to Africa, and it's a direct challenge to ECOWAS, African Union, and SADC too, because these guys are not only in Nigeria, they are not only in Burkina Faso, Mali, or Niger. They are also, can be traced to Mozambique, just here, close by. They've been also fighting in Mozambique there, particularly in that aspect. And understand that these are some of the most dangerous groups, some of the most militia, because they can take various forms. They multiply, and states need to protect themselves, particularly from this. And they become so dangerous. If you look at Interpol report, you can also be able to see that even in Southern Africa, these guys have been trying to establish their presence in Southern Africa, but it became difficult due to security coordination in SADC. But the question is only to say, to what extent is this security coordination going to be strengthened, so that some of these things, they must remain there, or must be, they must be neutralized completely, because jihadists, what they cost to the economy of Mozambique, what they cost to the economy of Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, you must understand that, there are also some of the central reasons why you also have, a military government in those countries, because the military people realize to say, no, the politicians have been not intentional about security. But if you look at it now, even the well-known, decorated captain, Ibrahim Traore, who was known to be very good at fighting on the battleground, is also still struggling, particularly fighting this jihadist. And they are not only militia, they are also having a religious ideology, particularly Islamic religious ideologies. And we are here to see how the government of Tinubu is going to deal with, it's going to deal with this, challenge that is a bigger threat to its country, to its economy, to the neighbors, and also to the entire Africa. And when you look at AU, AU just is condemning, and is also issuing condemnation. And when it comes to EU power militarily, and this military power has to be tested only through countries, and the countries that were supposed to provide military support to AU to solve these challenges are the same countries that are also in trouble. And we are yet to see how things are going to turn out. So let us look at a very, very short commercial break, then we'll look at Libya. To say after 13 years, it's for the first time Libya is going to have a unified state budget. after 13 years, for the first time, after 13 years of, you know, Libya, after 13 years of the death of Gaddafi, and also the so-called intention of putting democracy in Libya, after 13 years, for the first time, they are going to have a unified budget. And you understand how far Libya is when it's coming to development. To say the country has been so divided all those years after the civil unrest of 2011 and the death of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. It's for the first time Libya went to have a unified budget, because it has been a divided country. And a man who had big guns and ammunition, you can control a bigger land. And that's why the budget have been divided into, you can say, province or sections. They've been so divided. And if somebody asks you, who is the leader of Libya, you hardly see them at African platform. You hardly see them making headlines. You hardly hear and see developmental projects coming from Libya, because every man has been for himself, particularly the powerful. And they also understand that, when it comes to terrorism, when it's coming to criminal activities, when it's coming to human trafficking, Libya press at Libya, because the country has become so disorganized to that extent that the current leader, Prime Minister Abdul Hamid Muhammad, he does not have total control of Libya. And even when he get to power, it's through dialogues. There have been a lot of distrust, especially among the Libyan people, and also the administration and the ruling elites too. To say although they have a large portion of control over Libya, seems like challenges has been there. They say that the North African country has struggled to recover from the chaos that erupted in 2011, Arab Springs uprising that toppled Muammar Gaddafi, and the country remained divided between a UN recognized government led by a prime minister that is based in Tripoli, and also the Eastern Administration in Benghazi, backed by the military leader, Khalifa Haftar. Because in Libya, you don't only have Khalifa Haftar and Abdul Hamid. You also have other smaller sections. Khalifa Haftar has a military backing, has military power. But there's also a government which is in the capital city that is led by the Prime Minister. And for the first time now, seems like the fragmented parts are coming together. It stated that the Central Bank has indicated that these are the steps for progress toward the unifying fiscal policy, strengthening the good management of public spending, and also the first consensus on unified spending across Libya over 13 years. And that is, it's so unfortunate. And it's also a lesson to learn to say, when somebody is saying it's regime change, when somebody is saying it's change of government, what does that really mean? And who is benefiting? Who is benefiting from, the disorganization and the disruption of countries, particularly those who have strategic resources? And I also start appreciating speeches, particularly when you start reading through the lines and also see that they just take back, they are resurfacing videos of Robert Mugabe, particularly when he was speaking about African unity. And when he was standing on himself. And other African leaders were so diplomatic. He was standing himself against the Western. And the old man left this world without you know, seeing the real advancement of Africa. But you also start seeing, he was saying, man, look at what happened to the poor Gaddafi. You also start realizing that to say sometimes are those who stand during the test of time, particularly standing and having an unpopular opinion, they might be right in the wrong run, because things are manifesting now to say when everybody stood up and look at Gaddafi going down, everybody thought he was a dictator. But if you listen to the speeches during the death of, during the funeral of Gaddafi's son, see that citizens are calling, they are not only calling Gaddafi's son, they miss those old days. They miss those old days when you finish a university in Libya. You got an apartment until you find a job. You have an allowance and advancement in terms of technology. If Gaddafi was having money and even to the point of funding campaigns in France, and when you look at the country now, it has gone back to Stone Age. And it's only the man who has a well-functioning AK-47, or maybe the numbers of drones will be able to dominate. And ask yourself a question to say, when it's coming to the oil of Libya, when it's coming to the gold of Libya, which institutions are in charge? And you also understand how dangerous these resources are, particularly if they are not handled carefully. They can turn you into a desert, or you become a victim of your own resources too. Because imagine a country that is having a fat budget after 13 years. How the money was spent, what value the money was having. And it is stated to be the country which has, because apart from Nigeria, it is stated that Libya holds Africa's largest oil reserves, around 48.4 billion barrels. And is currently producing about 1.5 million barrels per day. We are seeking to increase the output. That is how rich the country is. That is how rich the country is. And ask yourself a question. Who is benefiting from the chaos? And whose interest as a government of Libya is serving? And also do your own research to say, read the history of the Prime Minister of Libya currently. Where was he during the struggle? Which university he studied? Then you get your whole answer. And also, is he a radical? Is he a neutral? Is he a liberal? What is his alliance with Africa? What is his alliance with the Western world? And also, how the future will look like? So, you can engage us at 083. You can call back at 083-288-401 and we'll be able to give contribution, particularly to the conversation of the morning. To say for the first time the country having a unified budget, and you can also see that the killing of Gaddafi, we are starting to see it now. That's why when somebody is being labeled as a terrorist, somebody is being labeled as a dictator, you must read between the lines and also see. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm good. How is the Monday morning?
Oh, we then got Monday morning is promising.
It's promising, ne?
Yeah, so you said it's our motivation that we should always pick up our pieces.
Yes, pick up and focus on the game.
Pick up and focus on the game, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that kind of motivation. It's not just a mere kind of a motivation.
Yeah.
It is something that has to do with our strict kind of motivation.
Mm.
And if we do not do that, if we do not have that kind of a message, you find many people down, being discouraged, losing hope, And the people have got the potential and the talent.
Indeed.
So this time around, now we're talking because I'm just going to run around. So I was reading in an article last week in the newspaper.
Yeah.
The people where they were having this Ubuntu kind of a meeting.
Yeah.
So they were approaching it. In fact, it's what they call, work integrated learning. That is the issue now, and the people are now talking about the way you used to say it. No, what is it that maybe there is some mismatch? You see, the way our institution, ourselves, before educating ourselves and things like that. And when you approach that article, when you look, analyze it, it's really talking about the development. The people who now say, fine, are they working to that development that, as a corrective, a collaborative, that issue we used to have about Ubuntu caring for one another.
The development with Namibian characteristics, with African characteristics.
Whether it's Namibia, but the way I see it.
Yeah.
So ours is not like in many other countries where people are not really united. So we are so united, with our unity is important.
Yeah.
And we are united for common goals. So now I realize that if we could just unite the way we were united when we were fighting against the colonialism and apartheid regime. If we have we revive that spirit, it's not about communism. I remember that it was the fear of the people.
Yeah.
Even the framers of our constitution.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like that. It is to really go in the community, mobilize for resources, mobilize for capacity, mobilize any other thing that you have, a project. Those are kind of projects.
Yeah.
So now the spirit that we're talking about, let me congratulate that Walenga there because his team is Man City and we are in the same team.
Oh, you are doing well. Okay.
So,
what about Arsenal?
Yeah, I respect them so much.
Yeah.
I really respect them and I salute them. But this time around, you can always see, these are the strategy that some of these coaches are using. You can adapt it to their own needs, You can adopt it to your own needs and see what type of economic development strategy are these people using.
No, yeah, strategy is just a strategy because I was asking myself to say, these guys, are they just doing business or they have intention of winning? Because it's not the first time. There was a point again, I think it's 3 years ago again, that the possibility was very high to win all the cups. But you must understand that in life you can't win all the battles. That's why I think they divide their attention, then they end up not getting anything. How can you lose all the 5 cups just like that?
You know what I like, the Man City coach and the players.
Yeah.
The kind of discipline that they have.
Mm.
And you don't just depend on one person. Everybody their score.
Mm.
So they have that kind of working together.
Mm.
Making sure that they coordinate.
Yeah.
You know, some of the games that went there, they were not supplying ball, they were not getting the ball to the Holland and others. But if they, you need to have everybody involved. You can't depend on Saka or whoever, no alone or two. No. You know what happened to miss the Chelsea yesterday?
You tell me.
Most of the names that you were hearing there is either Neto or Palmer. Palmer.
Yeah, I don't
know. Former City and so you make sure that everybody is involved in the game. So you don't just rely on one person. Look at what happened that Holland has not been scoring for some time. But the people were still moving. They were winning. You understand?
I'm telling you.
So now the Libya one in conclusion, and I think people are also seeing that because people are also united against the Western influence. And remember, and to me, my observation is that they have also been fueling some kind of social and political unrest. When you look at even the Boko Haram, I know that they are kind of religious your inducement there. Are you getting me? So there are a lot of those influences. But if we cannot clean up seriously and silence the gun, even within, we start within here. You know how many guns that are still in people's hands? Puri Valley and South Africa is even worse.
But I think Namibia, we are good with gun control, and we are not really violent people, although we're seeing it's a bit understandable.
But if you cannot create awareness, to reform our attitude and our behaviors, then you become complacent of the situation. And you see, there are also violence there happening. Maybe not nearly on guns, but a lot of violence, domestic and this violence. These are all crimes. And especially this time around, because a lot of people are being kidnapped, you hear a lot of things, and these things are really happening.
But I think compared to other countries, if you go to DRC, if you go to Libya, you find a bandit or a criminal with a rocket launcher. It's terrorism. It's no more criminality.
But that is the situation of America and the West, the NATO. So that is the creation of America.
But it's also our own creation, because one thing that you need to understand is that you cannot say it's a creation of the Western if your own people are doing that. It's also our own creation, because who accept those things? It's our own people. It's us against ourselves. Yeah.
When you see what is happening, I mean, what is, and this has become a cartel for Trump. We have killed their leaders. We have these things. They have these things. So they always want to bring chaos and instability in a country that is stable and peace. So this is their creation. Of course, for us, we, because of unpatriotic thing and all these things, we are so much succumbed, you know, what do you call it? We can be influenced so easily and manipulated, and those things have been created, and we are getting it.
I want you to say the same thing to Russia. Can it also apply to Russia and Ukraine?
Yeah, because the temporary ceasefire they put for Orthodox and things like that.
I'm speaking about when you are attacking other countries. Because I hear it, especially with us. I think it's not the first time we are discussing it.
Russia was attacked first, my friend, by NATO through Ukraine. Ukraine was used as a proxy country to
One thing that you also start to see when something is framed so well, it's becoming a truth if it's convinced a lot of people. So that is not an invasion; it's an operation to protect the country.
Okay, this is what you are saying, because you remember Russia, I think when we hear a lot of histories and things like that, we downplay them.
No. Look, man, it's not downplaying. It's just based on who we like and also who we perceive to be our friend. But if they are doing the same thing, it's the same thing with...
Islam is not a friend to Namibia, Russia, and it's not a friend to Namibia and many other countries.
It's not a friend.
It's a comrade, so to say.
You see, so it's family.
It's a family member. It's not even a friend.
It's
a family member,
and
from all along, even when they remember in 1941 or so, somewhere there, when they bent, they crossed the Russian embassy, Soviet Union's embassy in South Africa, And the people, our people got that spirit of working together, Ubuntu, and say, no, let's liberate ourselves from this yoke of the Western. So I think it's just that this kind of spirit, the community, kind of, people are now talking about community development project and initiative. Why? It's because the people in the periphery areas, at least, even though we do not have access to finance, and because of the policies and the laws that are still entangling our people from getting out. So we need to do a lot of things, but these things have to be done. Yesterday I was listening to the Nadunya there, the access to justice is still a challenge. And how many lawyers are now giving this service through this pro bono or whatever? How do you call it, that thing?
Pro bono.
There are few.
Yeah, that's why today we'll speak about the system of copying and paste, to say, do we really understand the system? Do we have architecture of Namibian system, as we say, or we just copy and paste? Because the establishment of system.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Stop everything. With fuel prices up, USAVE has slashed the cost of your grocery bill like never before. All the essentials you need. Groceries, fruit, veggies, baby stuff, toiletries, and a great combo at unbelievable prices. Only up to Sunday the 19th of April. Tell your friends and get to your nearest USAVE to stock up before Sunday, 19 April 2026.
Yes?
Yeah, so that's what you are going to talk about today.
Yeah, we are already talking about it.
Okay, so I think that is very important. And I think the way I look at the institutional structure, how the people are trying now to align their budget, their activity, I mean the budget to the activity that they have identified. Because many people budget just like that, but you do first identify the activity, cost them nicely, and I think in terms of coordination, we are also seeing some things, especially sports. Did you see how the Sakati Stadium was full packed? And everywhere. When there is a lot of infrastructure development, when you look at Sakati, when you look at many other areas, like I said, here we have got the at least the land. I think that when they say state, you know, those kind of things, so that we can have some development, but development must really be translated into fruits. So I think we have spoken enough, David. Let me listen.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are asking a question of the system of, you know, authenticity within our system. And also to us to say, when you look from the early 1960s, where you see giant African leaders speaking about Pan-Africanism, they speak about African development. They understood that Africa will not advance and develop with the current establishment of, you know, colonial inheritance. That's why at the center of that there was, you know, African unity. If you listen to this ideological standing, either is humanism, either is Harambee, And a lot of people, when they listen to Harambe, they just think it's the food parcel or it's just a document. But if you go deep, you understand that what were the African leaders saying, especially with the current system that they have, because they have seen that even when they go to power, the system still, squeezing them to operate in a certain way. That's why the question that we should also ask ourselves is that, is the system that we are using, have we understood it? Did we contribute significantly to its operation? And what can we do to make sure that our goals and intentions are realized through the established system? When we speak about that, we are not only speaking about the public sector, we can also speak about the financial system. We can also speak about the way we do business to say, yes, it looks like it's international law, but when a country such as Nigeria realizes that they have Dagote in their own country, for example, then they are utilizing their own person to say, in terms of oil, let's prioritize Dangote. Let us close down because the world is burning. Let us close down, trade so that we can save our economy. Then just after 2 days, World Bank issued a statement to know, guys, you must change because you are becoming too powerful. And when you are really speaking about independence, are we independent in terms of the developmental priorities and projects? And we have asked this question before to say, who is really sabotaging our development? Who is really at the center of our developmental sabotage? If the president has a very good intention, draft a very good plan, put money on the table, appoint technocrats, and open up to public discussions to see what need to be done, then at the end of the day, nothing is moving. Then the question, have we understood the system? Have we understood the trouble of, bureaucratic establishment that are not understood? Why is the democratic system operating well in Canada, even in the USA, in Britain, in few African countries? But when it comes to us, it's like we are stuck. We are colonizing ourselves indirectly. Why are we like that? Why the financial system is so complicated to that extent that even if the bank start making more money, the country continue to be poor? If we ever ask ourselves that question, why do we speak about industrialization if we spend more money on food and clothes than building institutions, building industries? You'll be shocked to say we say one thing, and who is our main advisor when it comes to a development at home? Because if we start to think about that, then we can come also to say that when we do our assessment, when we assess implementation, either it's of strategic plan, implementation of national policies, we must also go back and ask to say, who is studying the progress of the architecture of the system that we are using in serving our people? Why is taking so much time to build one hospital, to build one stadium? Taking so much time, taking so 5 years. You look at the sport facilities, for example. People say, no, we are franchise state. We the suffering of ourselves is the benefiting of others. But you also start asking to see, have we just copied and pasted? What's changed in terms of the system? Yes, the people have changed. Why do we still have laws which are crippling us? At least if we copy and paste, can we do editing and paraphrase some of them? Maybe we can copy good things. Yeah, that's why the main question that we ask is that, what is our contribution to the Namibian economic system, to the Namibian financial system, to the Namibian administration system, and to the way we operate? When Meme Samia Suluhu realized to say, no, this convoy is becoming so long and I start having the longest convoy. How can you have the longest convoy even than the US president? I think I need to cut it down. Have we copy things that are not making sense anymore just to keep crippling our economy? So it's just a question of analyzing to say what's really blocking us. Some may come up and say, no, let us change the laws. But what is so difficult for us to change the laws within a given time? People are moving in we are moving in a circle. We don't have enough data. I see the other day the analysts are saying the president promised 500,000 jobs. The question is that it's not only the president. How about other people too? What do they do? That's why today we have to look at that the copy and paste developmental approach. If you want to see that it's copy and paste at some point, I'm not saying it's everything. Maybe we have 70% of that. Ask any experienced lawyer to say, why do, when somebody speak about Chapter 3 of the Namibian Constitution, people are saying, no, don't touch that. Don't even say any word about it. Why do people don't speak about those things? To say, no, apparently it's not going to be changed. You cannot touch that. It's the heart of the Constitution. So if you touch it, what is the problem? Is it not our document that we have come up with? And whose interests are they serving? Because if you come to that point, you become very problematic. To say, no, touch other things, but no, don't go there. And I was really angry one day. There was one company which are making products in Namibia. Then it is not allowed. And that company just collapsed in front of people. It collapsed. It laid off hundreds of people. But the law is saying you can sell internationally, but not in Namibia. And the CEO, I think, was frustrated also. He just left and to look for better opportunities. But yeah, it's the country that we are living in. And it's also a question of saying, if you want progress, if you want those 500,000 jobs to manifest, if you want those stadiums to be built within a given time, what can we do beyond monitoring and evaluation? And what can we do beyond calling out each other? Because somewhere, somehow, somebody is sabotaging. And we don't see that. But when you are going to realize that it's too late for that aspect. That's why the question is that, what is the danger of imitating without innovating, particularly in terms of planning? In Namibia, we celebrate, we go to dinner just about drafting a plan. We clap hands, we give people rings just about drafting a plan. See that? How many people stood up and celebrated to say, this is our achievement? Apart from, I like giving credit to NAMRA to say, those guys are on their job, they stand up and do what they do. But maybe they have better options than others. But they draft a plan and they celebrate their achievement. But in Namibia, people come up with targets. When you ask them about their targets, they get very angry. Good morning.
Yes, I'm there.
Yes, how are you, Lazarus?
I'm also right now. You know why we are copying and pasting. You know, it's one thing for most. You know, when you go to school, or when they interview this thing, you know, at school, we are not told, like, to compare things.
We are memorizing.
Yeah, that's why, you know, every single concept that is. Let's say, for instance, when economy comes in now, the economy has been there. Then what was not there is like is the market. There was no market. Because everybody in our society, then most 80% or 90% of the population, everybody is a producer. It was not. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, when the interest. Then, when there was a market, there was a bartering system. You understand? Now, when we start talking this thing, we are not comparing in contrast to say, look, before this type of economy we have today, demand and supply, or this financial system in water, this is what we have. What is wrong with it? That's why now, up to now, people didn't understand that Chinese is using bartering system in a different form. Did you know that the Chinese have almost like 30% in Iran oil reserve? What do they do? I was thinking, what they do, they are just applying some military facility and also helping in building infrastructure.
I think even the satellite, I think it's a trade, that one.
Yes. So, while on the other hand, when you see here, they say, look, we aren't going to give you money, we are just going to give you money, an airport for oil. Then we negotiate on the, you start paying, or we negotiate in other, you know,
other area.
Other things. That's where we say, look, bartering system was really good. That's why even the economy of the God currency, when God was used as a currency.
Hold on.
It was a commodity which was being made. Not now when they have a petrol dollar.
I hear you. Just hold on one second.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do. With Express Credit's Easy Payday Loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah?
So that's where the problem is now. Because people now are not comparing and contrasting. You say look, this is what they, what is the, because man, as we leave everything, man, then we just there. You understand? Even now when we introduce, for instance, English as an official language.
Yeah.
English is not taught parallel to the vernacular.
I hear you. There we are one.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's why I said, The people who were there at the beginning, that's why you would find that there was a dictionary of English, Afrikaans, and Oshawamba. Where is that dictionary? Nobody had value to that up to today.
Even the Oshawamba, you know, the Oshawamba that we are speaking is not the Oshawamba that our grandfather spoke. We are diluted every day.
I am there.
No. but it will not help anything if you are the only one, or maybe you are just 2%. What I'm indicating is that we are losing a lot of things. Okay.
Yeah. That's why Nolida Diakucha, if you have noticed when we always discuss, why I always like to bring this Oshawamba concept.
No, I hear you.
It's because this is how things should happen. Imagine you, a medical person, a student of Kurimu Sarata Ronga, he thought, Nando Kuri, Nando Migraine. They are being told that there is no contrasting. How do we call these things in Oshawamba? I know how Wambo people used to
go out.
To go out. Is this, what is the modern medicine say? ABC, what? That is the way now you are talking about it. There will be no copy anymore.
No, now we are just copy
now,
and paste. Yeah.
You are just being taught one time. Then you memorize everything. You are there and you start without solution.
I hear you, but I think South Africa has also done well, because even when you see South African professionals, you see they are so well educated, but you also understand that they cut across all languages, and I think it's also opening your mind, the fact that you understand things from all the ways, it's easier, unlike us.
Look, if you want this side to stand up for me,
yeah,
the approach to education must be always compared with trust. Look, let me tell you one thing.
Mm.
Like yesterday, sometimes when we have the students discussing with these people about Bible, God and what. Then I tell you, look, before, you know, there was the, they always, they were, like, you say me, when the Bible says, God is just one, you understand?
Mm.
What is different there? God is like, you are saying, you have a bread, not shikwira.
Yeah, okay? They are all bread.
They are all bread.
Yeah.
What is the difference there?
No, I hear you. And yeah.
That bread is made in a week. It is made in
flour.
But whatever it is, it's going to have energy.
I hear you.
Now, the problem, I mean, the God of Abraham doesn't want to eat. He doesn't eat.
Yeah.
Now, you want, then you see black and Rambor starting fighting the bread of Abraham.
No, I hear you. No, you are speaking the point. You know, yesterday was Mesaima's program I was listening to. And, one guy made a very strong point to say, why do you guys think we were born yesterday? Why do you don't want us to believe in our ancestors? Who was Jacob? Is Jacob not an ancestor? Is Abraham not an ancestor? And I was starting laughing to say, when you start those provoking questions to people, they'll be very angry with you because they were so comfortable to say everything was just wrong. But it's a genuine question to say, why do you want me to not believe in my ancestors if everything that you are telling me is also other people's ancestors? And it was so chaotic.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know why people, we are crying?
Yeah.
We are crying simply to say, look, the level of crime in the country is very high.
Mm.
And one of the sources started the alcohol abuse. Then you say, look, people are killing each other, they are raping each other, you have all those nonsense that you are talking about. But did you know, it's because all those things are happening in one. During the time when people worshiping the God of Israel, Abraham, you understand?
I hear you.
Yeah. But did you know? Because people didn't know, understand that God is not outside the culture and the tradition of a nation.
It's within.
God is a tradition. Because when you live the tradition, God is not there.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. Because God, you say, look, our ancestors took the route to say, during like Marura, Magongo, you are not allowed to work with any ammunition or weapon.
They understand already.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's why they knew that the alcohol, the wine was prohibited. The thing was prohibited.
Even judicial proceedings, ne?
God of Israel said, no, you can work with your gun, you can drink, as much you send. When you, just imagine, you go to church, you go to church, you give your offering. Then you, from the church, you go to the bar. You have your gun.
Yeah.
Then you drink. When you drink, somebody provoke you, whatever happened there, you kill a person.
It's true. It's true.
At the end of the day, the government will come, arrest you. They put you in a jail. After that, look, let me tell you now. It's a business there. Where is the business? You give offering, you bought the gun, you bought the alcohol. You see? When you kill somebody, you pay bail. Bail go in the government coffer.
And also the person who committed the crime also start using my taxpayers' money again.
That's why I said that. This God that we are serving is totally wrong, because before that, there was not this problem.
And we also don't understand it.
There was not this problem.
No, it's true. And I think that is the thing also of copy and paste. You know why, Kangame can have his own weakness. Kangame closed down, I think, thousands of churches. He said, no, guys, we can't compete with industries because let us look at output. We can't have, why are you so divided? Why can't we just agree on one thing? You can have 20,000 churches in one country, and they are telling people that there is progress. The honesty, when are we going to get time to industrialize and also feed ourselves?
That's why for me, Kagame is one of my favorite leaders. Go to heaven. Because Kagame is the person that has to understand even the world, you know, everything.
He understands it.
Just leave us alone. Because Kagame has also realized that you cannot satisfy the interests of the empire. No. Today they will tell you, tomorrow they tell you.
But I think he understood them very well. That's why he worked with them. If they say no, he also say, I'm also going.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the issue of copy and paste is how we pursue our education system. Because there's not two sides. That's why when you are not teaching two sides, that is not education. Memorizing that you have been taught how to do things. That's why people have left without even knowing the consequences of left what they believe. What they believe.
Even if
we are teaching a history, this democracy, we are not teaching it a parallel to what happened. This is the First World War, you know, the TV video and whatever. But we are not teaching to say, look, you know, Hamburg, there was also civil war. Among the Herero Namas, there was also civil war. What was there? What was all about?
So that case studies.
Your case studies.
Even economic case studies, you'll be interested if we were keeping those records, you would even have a better formula than what we have now. Because to us, everything is just old and tradition and backward. That is what we were taught to believe.
That's the way we have been taught. It's just backwardness and what. That's why, these things of battering and what, we were just taking this, you know, because Chinese have to speak into say, just imagine, if I give you paper, this paper money, a bag of it, then I burn it. And also, I give you a cow, then I kill the cow. What's benefiting?
It's only who has the cow.
Oh, the cow, even if it's been killed, you can still eat. It's
value. No, paper money is symbolic. It's just maybe international standard, but we never contributed anything to that. We just moving through. Even when they devalue your money, you just go home.
Yeah, that's why we see with did you know why the American doesn't want the Chinese in this pattern? Because they knew they don't have the resources. Like Namibia is one of the richest countries with Namibia resources. Namibia would be one of the richest. Well, if we start trading with goods, you see? And if you say, look, in the global market, you say, look, now we can only buy, why can't you not buy cars, you know, from those companies with raw material? Nobody is going to allow you that.
No, you're not, you dilute everything.
Yes, why? Because, other countries have nothing. They are poor. Now you have to buy it with paper or with numbers. So, for me, I'm saying, look, here, if we want to go ahead, we need to start. If you wanted to see now the economy, we are going ahead. It's when you see Mahangu at the commercial level. It's when you start to see Omrote and Imam Mahangu at the commercial level.
Even pizza, the other day. I was talking about why do we eat frogs, which is our food? Why can't you make pizza out of frog? Why can't we have somebody who think about those things, where we just look at other people? Yeah.
That's why I'm saying when we taught at school, look, we were supposed to say, look, okay, we have this now. How do the people who are producing like wheat now, therefore the bread made of also, how do they make it to such extent? So that you can also replicate it at this time. That's where the information is not going. I'm telling you.
I think even when you look at our education system, for example, to say, what are they really teaching us? Are they really teaching us how to think? Are they really teaching us how to innovate? Because they end up blaming us to say, no, you guys, you're supposed to create your own employment. But how can you do that if even you, the system, make you to that extent that you can only give me?
What we are talking is the migration system.
Yeah.
You have been migrated from what you know to the other side.
Yeah.
And when you go there, they will not teach you where you come from. No. They teach you what you should do. Like that.
And I still want to see a book written by a Namibian which is being used at university in Toronto, in UK. We still want to see that.
Look, it will not, because the book, most of the book that African writing, they are just copying this, even at the, maybe.
Just hold on.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Uya ita kwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavauchako ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia oshipu nengono landoka shako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fikola keshe moshi Longwashe, de to SMS o shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, o neveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, o tali hulmo milongo natunali mwe amaricha, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, o do dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Okay, let's conclude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you see the Namibians who write, they just write about their own.
Their gap?
About their own history.
Their autobiography.
That's why I said that. No, it's not that we don't know.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to integrate our own knowledge, our own culture into the modern technology through contrasting teaching.
Indeed.
So that we, because actually, our culture is more knowledge, only that we are not feeding it with the modern technology. Feeding it. That's why, just take it for instance, when the Chinese or whoever was at making, and the other more plastic. They see how Oshiwambo people, you know, do their storage, but the Mahango storage, but they know they cannot afford to go in the forest and do this thing. That's why your mono and Giga, if they are doing it very slow.
We are defeated. Okay, let's give opportunity to others. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. That is what I indicated to say. Education system is the center of innovation, change, and also coming up with new things. Because if you come to the point where we don't contribute anything to the system that we are operating, we cannot think properly. And what I've also seen is that when somebody starts thinking deeply and also start thinking differently to say, why are we not honoring our value? Why can't we add to our cultural standing? Why can't we integrate traditional medication to school of medicine? To say those grandmothers and uncles, before they leave this world, they must leave those knowledge, document them, and also filter out things which are not right, because not everything is correct, because there are also those who distort, and also to say what we have, otherwise we'll not get anywhere. And the issue of language too. Copy and paste will beat us to say, why somebody who has 40 or 41 points and you in English cannot go to school of medicine and study? if we are only, looking at that aspect, why education system is so still having a punitive approach. But that's a conversation. So let's go to a short commercial break. Then we go to the Village newspaper.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere uliko ni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoewe ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge Pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora esatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward and let us look at the Villager newspaper. If you look on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, there's an indication to say, or the headlines for today is that 428,000 Namibians have retirement cover worth of 301.7 billion. That's a retirement cover. Understand the amount of money that, Namibians, particularly, when it comes to retirement savings, standing at 301.7 billion. And the question is that, how is it going to be utilized? And also the aspect of, understand that retirement funds, insurance, they hold this economy. And also note that, when it comes to that aspect, you must also look at, not only about money, but also look at the life of Namibians post retirement. What would happen? And also in terms of investment, what would they use that funds for? Page 3, graduation. University of Namibia is graduating and people are coming to the market. Graduates, congratulations to the graduates. And, looking at Southern Campus have already done on the 9th of April. Katima Muriro is tomorrow. It is Zambezi region. Katima Muriro Campus is tomorrow. Then you go to Rundu Campus is on Thursday. Northern Campus, speak about HP. Speak about Jose Dosado Engineering Campus, that is on Wednesday, the 22nd of April, that is next Wednesday, not this coming, but the other one. Then you also have the final graduation session for University of Namibia is happening, particularly in Windhoek, where you have the 28th of April, on the Tuesday of the 20th of April. At this window campus. And that's session 1 and 2. Faculty of Health, Medicine. And also Commerce, Management and Law. Then you are going to finalize with Education. That is Wednesday, the 29th of April. You know, graduation. Also ask yourself a question. Cousin of yours who went to University of Namibia. Is she graduating now? Or later, ask a person a question to say, what assistance do they need? Only found students who you don't know if it's a first year or a second year. Things are complicated, they are tough. And ask with caution to say, when are you graduating? It's better to ask which assistance do you need to graduate, because it's not easy out there at university to apply all the necessary legal tricks so that you can pass. It's more than being an A student. You must be emotionally strong. You must also be able to be a team player. and also understand how to move across different cultural backgrounds so that you can come with that diploma, that certificate, and also that degree. Because it's no more than about IQ test. You also need EQ and also other things so that you can graduate, because not all the A students graduated from universities due to other circumstances. But let's celebrate. Namibia education is continued to be going up. The other time I was reading the profile of Eddie Kafita. So impressed to say, Namibians, we are educated and we must really utilize that education for the greater good of everybody. Not to page each other, but also to work with each other. And yeah, looking at page 4, there is an article by HT that is looking at call for Namibian or for Namibia to tighten cybersecurity measures. To say Namibia, when it's coming to the cybersecurity, something that we don't really speak about often, particularly when you speak about data. To say having an industrialized economy without having control of your data, serving is like owning the building, but all the furnitures inside, they are owned by somebody. Because cybersecurity must be understood as of yesterday. And people must invest not only in education of cybersecurity, but also building infrastructure, critical infrastructure, and also investment in research and development. Because when people look at cybersecurity, they only think about computer science graduate. It's more than being a computer science graduate. It's more than being a cybersecurity, graduate. It's about understand the institution, understand the leadership in cybersecurity, and also understand the political will, policies too, on cybersecurity so that we can protect our economy. Because if somebody has a technological power to invade the bank and take out all the money from our accounts, we are not safe. And the economy is not safe. But let us look at that and move forward. Page 5, welder to create job opportunities through equipment support. It's an article by Lois Shimi to look at how artisan can be able to create jobs through equipment support. Look at Woman Block supermarket sale and get more. If you want real good chicken, if you want backflow wheat, if you want a nice rice, the 2 kg at $32.99. If you want Coke 2 liter, just $21.99, and many others. And admission or application for qualifications at professional qualification at Velvicha universities, especially looking at the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. July application is now open. You can get your postgraduate diploma in project management, level 8, where you also just study for 1 year, then you get your postgraduate diploma. Can apply. The application fee just $230 Namibian, and the deadline is the 31st of May. Go to Velvicia and study. Get your qualification and contribute to national development. Looking at page 8, say NAMPOWER VTC graduates to undergo artisan development. NAMPOWER. The 26 trainee graduates from NAMPOWER Vocational Training Center will go through another 3-year artisan development program, especially to equip them and give them technical know-how and capacity, particularly when it comes to artisan, related training. And it's indicated that City of Windhoek launched 40,000 mobile exhibition. Get it, that City of Windhoek has launched a mobile exhibition titled "What Wastewater and a Valuable Resource in Windhoek" at Windhoek City Museum, and it has a value of 40,000 Namibian dollars, read and get that content. You look at industrial briefs. Look at industrial briefs. Look at Attorney General's, office through his strategic plan to train 10 legal professionals annually in sector-specific skills. And you also have an industrial brief that is looking at school dedicated to teaching AI open in South Africa. People are teaching artificial intelligence in South Africa. And also the other one is also precision surgery, robotic technology introduced at Lady Pohamba. To say, we're going to have robots which can do surgery. And that is a development there in Lady Pohamba. You have an opinionated article by Peneambeko Jonas that is looking at Africa resource paradox. Africa resource paradox. Get the content of the opinionated paper by Peneambeko Jonas at page 11. Looking at Plevica University. There is success stories on Plevica University. It's an article there by Stefanos Pombiri, particularly looking at opinionated paper on Plevica University, a story of women excellence, and get that opportunity and read the Villager newspaper. So, dear listeners, this will bring us to the end of our conversation. However, understand that the Minister of International Relations and Trade is in China. Is in China. Meme Ashpara. Mr. Mashpara Musavi is in China. And I understand his working visit, particularly when it comes to the strengthening of the relationship. It's an official working visit to China. And I think the discussion on uranium trade fluctuation must also be on the table. To say, guys, what's happening? What happened in February? Particularly to that trade, maybe it should also be on the table. And that will bring us to the end of our conversation. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big Mike in Ondangwa to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and sharp.